let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, coast to coast. Elmarin Vogel, the author of Reinventing Life, My Journey into PTSD and Back, has been called a Renaissance man. The author is a musician studying French horn. He visited 15 countries, farmer, becoming a master in biodynamic farming, and builder. He lives on the island of Martha's Vineyard. A head-on collision disabled him and ended his building career. The only way he could move was with his camera and telelens. The only way to express himself during recovery from PTSD was poetry. In Search of Life, he began observing nature under extreme conditions. It gave him courage to write, to find his voice, and finally to share his discoveries of words and images in his memoir, Reinventing Life, My Journey into PTSD and Back. He's now leading a writing group in Martha's Vineyard. His work was presented at arts events in Chilmark, Massachusetts. Back with us on the program, Elmarin Vogel. Welcome back to the program. It's great to have you back with us and sharing your story with us today. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
If you're just watching the program, we did a program a week ago, and that video and audio up on our website, and go check that out. That was a fascinating discussion with Elmarin as well. Let's talk about this book, Reinventing Life, Your Story. What inspired you to actually write this book, to share your story?
I was observing in my recovery that writing was helpful to me, and I was working on gathering coping skills, and as I shared some of my writing, people were telling me that this was an issue that was greater than just me, and that the trauma that I was describing was something that was much more common than I had realized that, and that I was beginning to discover that I was really living in a traumatized world. And initially, when I came to Martha's Vineyard, I met a carpenter who showed me his work and his building, and he was a veteran from the Korean War. He told me that it hadn't been for the Veterans Administration treating him for PTSD, he would not have a family now, and he would not have a life as it presented itself to me. And that made me aware of the greater issue, and then I lost a very dear friend who took his own life because he could not deal with the survivor's guilt. He was a Vietnam veteran. And that is how I became first aware, and when I went through this accident, and I went into PTSD myself, I realized that this was a story that was much more than just my story, and I thought I might be able to help other people to share my experience.
Yes, it's such an inspirational story. I would think that most people, because we all, not to the level that the hardships that you went through, but everybody suffers ups and downs, challenges in life, and you got through yours. Now you're sharing that story. Who do you feel is interested in this memoir? Because I feel it's sort of everybody could learn something from what you went through and how you came back from it.
Well, that was part of my discovery, was that people were telling me, because I first started writing as if I was writing in the third person. And then people say, no, you have to be in this story. This is about you, but it's also about everybody else. So the answer is everybody is in some fashion affected by PTSD, either as a victim themselves or as somebody who has what they call inherited benefits, which is being close to somebody who is traumatized will pull their loved ones and their family into the trauma with them.
That's interesting, because this is so helpful for those who suffer and those as well, like you say, family members, friends that that know people that are suffering, it gives them some insight into to what it is they're going through. Ilmarin Vogel is our guest on the program. We're talking about his book, Reinventing Life, My Journey into PTSD and Back. The book's available at Amazon, the usual places. I'll do the spelling and give you all that information as we go through the program. Why do you think that's important and helpful for the readers to follow you through your life? As we're following, we see tremendous highs, tremendous success, a man who is out there conquering life, enjoying life, and then suffering what could have been an injury, an accident that took your life. Why will this be important to actually follow your life?
The situation of somebody who's traumatized is that first you don't realize you are traumatized yourself. You know that there was an accident, you know there was a problem, but you don't necessarily understand any of it. And you're discovering that you increase your disability of communicating, and all of a sudden you find yourself cutting yourself off from the people around you. And that is very difficult for the people who live with you, because they lose you and you're unaware of it, and they're unaware of it. Nobody knows how that happens. And that's why I thought describing it and letting somebody follow me right from step to step into this situation where 2 days after an accident, your world that you knew before has disappeared, and people still see you, but they don't recognize you anymore.
Reinventing Life, My Journey into PTSD and Back is the book. Ilmarin Vogel, our guest on the program. Talk about the post-war experience, and we talked about that on the last program. How did that shape your view on community?
I was raised in a family that was separated because of the war, and my father was working and living in a city that had been 95% destroyed. And we were trying to get closer to him by moving several times. And we became refugees of the war, in a way. And I was surrounded by people, 20 million traumatized refugees, homeless, roaming the country trying to find a place to settle. And so being in a world that had suffered from the trauma of a war and had lost their homes made me aware of being part of something much greater than our little tiny family at the time. And so you had people who were not displaced and not dislocated, and they were very much afraid. And that is something that happens today too, because we find that people are leaving Syria, for instance, and Turkey has about 4 million of Syrians living in Turkey, and they can threaten with these refugees the rest of Europe by saying, if you don't give us what we want, we are going to send them to you. And this political scenery that we have now was handled differently after World War II, because under the Marshall Plan, people were being housed and resettled very quickly. And it was an amazing experience, and I grew up in that experience.
And it's amazing when you think about that and think of your life and what you've gone through and how it could have been dramatically different, especially in today's climate. As you're talking there, I'm wondering, are there similarities to today's war trauma and the migration of traumatized refugees, and also the reaction today of people to trauma victims? How different is it today than it was when you grew up?
Well, for traumatized people don't really have a language until they get into treatment. So they cannot describe to you that they're traumatized. They don't know that. But their reactions are explosive. And so when people are traumatized, they are reacting to being disenfranchised more because they are hurting so much and they don't know how to express that. And society that is not traumatized is fearful of them because they don't understand. It is a very strange phenomenon. And if we call them terrorists or if we call them intruders, we don't make it easier. We make it harder for them to live with that. And so I feel the more everybody knows about it and the more families know about their own traumatized family members, the more the community understands it, the faster we can bring everybody into a therapy setting where they can ultimately heal.
That's why this book is so important, Reinventing Life, My Journey into PTSD and Beck by Ilmarin Vogel. That's Ilmarinen. Vogel, V as in Victor, O-G-E-L. Books available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. And you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. With all that you've been through in your life, what's your view on religion? Do you believe in God?
Yes, I do. And being a minister's grandson on both sides of the family, I have witnessed the struggle of my grandfathers trying to explain to them, to their communities in their sermon, what their role would be in healing this war-torn world. We were at the heels of two world wars that happened within one generation. And it was a struggle for ministers to stay positive and upbeat and to find words that would be healing words rather than to give direction, because there is no direction that you can give to a person who's traumatized, you know. And so this was a time when you just had to be aware of that, and you could see that the more inclusive you could be with other people of other belief systems, the better it was for society. That was what shaped my view on society at the time.
I've mentioned, and we talked about on the last program, music is such an important part of your life at a young age and introduced you to the world. How was music a factor in writing this book?
I was originally unhappy about some of the moving around that my family did. I lost friends. I lost my place of what I considered home several times in a row, and I needed to find something that would stay with me. I was very much in tune with nature, but I needed to find something. Music was a chance for me to, I studied French horn, and I was able to go to 14 countries as a young French hornist and meet people from other countries, and we were speaking a common language. And I had some events that were specifically designed to rekindle friendships between people who were at war before. And we were using music as a common language. And to me personally, music created harmony that was healing, that was helping me heal.
Through all that you went through, how did you avoid self-medication? And what made you seek help? Was there a moment when you decided, I need to reach out to someone?
Yes, I was beginning to fall into this flooding event, which is that suddenly you start crying and you cannot drive because your eyes are so wet that you cannot see. So I had to pull over, and I was having these events that were my past was flashing in front of me,
yes,
in front of my eyes, and it was then that I thought maybe I ought to find a bridge or a tree or a big rock and finish the job that this accident had started. I went to my doctor and he gave me some medication. Says, here, this will make you feel better, and I read the instructions at home, and I found that one of the side effects was suicide. And so I was livid, and I went to my physician, and I said, I need you to send me to a counselor to somebody who can help me without without drugs. I don't want any drugs. I want to feel the pain, and I want to learn how to cope with this. And I think there's got to be something that can be done. And he sent me to a person who was who was serving in the Wounded Warriors Project, and that was my lucky day. And I found a trauma counselor who could help me without any medication.
We've got a few minutes left in the program, and that is so interesting. And a technique was used, emotional freedom technique, from the trauma counselor. Talk about that. That's an expression I've never really heard before. What is that?
Emotional freedom technique is a way of tapping on certain meridian points on your body, on your face and on your chest and on your wrist. And as you do this, you use a mantra that you repeat. And that goes somewhat like this. I love and accept myself just the way I am, even though I have no idea how I'm going to get through tomorrow. And you go through all these meridian points and you tap as you say this. And then you make a list of all the things that you are worried about, things that you're concerned about, and things that hurt you, and things that worry you. You can write that list and rewrite the list, and you address all these items as you tap on your body. And what happens is your blood oxygen content will increase, and your heart rate will decrease. And so it has a calming effect. And what happens in the process of using this emotional freedom technique, you will end up seeing little items simply disappear. They simply don't weigh anymore. And the big items you work on, and they become less. And I went from 2010 with about 200 items to 2015, 14. 2014, I was down to 80, and 2015, I was down to 6, and I whittled them down until I had no items left.
Boy, it sounds like a technique that we all could use. That's fascinating how that works and was able to work for you. What is the message? And again, just a short period of time here, but I want to talk about this. The message to trauma victims and their families, because you have a message in reinventing life. What is that?
The message is, first of all, you are not alone. You don't have to do this alone. You don't have to go this alone. But you need to bring your family, because your family has no way of understanding or relating to your predicament. And unless they are totally understanding, even if without having the experience themselves, they see it still from the outside, their understanding and the brand of compassion that comes from knowing is something that will take the impatience out, it'll take the guilt out, and they will be able to stand by you in a way that is based on understanding and not on worry or wonderment. And wonderment, you become very sensitive if people just have wonderment about who you are and what you're doing. They have impatience about everything is always about you. This is very hurtful. And when they understand, they'll back away, and they don't expect you to be able to explain everything. And I think that learning how to explain this predicament to yourself, learning to share this with your family, learning to introduce this to your community, that will make for our veterans. We have how many veterans do we have? 600,000,
something in that category. Yes, it's a staggering number.
We have a lot of veterans who have families who are suffering from the fact that they have no clue what happened to their loved one. And to me, the message is, there is help. Ask for it.
And the bottom line with all of that is the number of suicides. I think it's every day of veterans who
more than 20 a day.
Which is, I think, 23, and that's not coming down real rapidly. But that's why your book is so important, Reinventing Life, My Journey into PTSD and Back. I'm going to take another minute here to see if, thinking about this, climate migration is something that's fairly new, and we've heard a lot about millions of refugees. How is that different, do you think, and is it different than the war refugees that you were part of?
Well, the problem for them is similar. The problem is, if I am driven from where I live to a place where I don't belong, where I don't feel at home,
yes,
where people don't accept me for who I am, it's not that I'm a tourist coming to Martha's Vineyard and everybody's happy I'm here, some of them anyway. the suspicion in the eyes of the people who are locals is dangerous, and the fear that they hold is very dangerous for everyone. And it has changed our political landscape, and more radical ideas come up that would like to build a wall rather than make the table larger to welcome people in. We can hear all the evidence about how refugees in America have shaped this country and how much they contribute. And when the climate refugees start coming in, there will be more in numbers, and the countries that they land in, like today, is Greece, it's France, it's Italy. The people, the mass of the people that are suddenly appearing is so great, it'll overwhelm any community that doesn't figure out a way to welcome them. And we have to be prepared that this is going to take another generation or two, if we save the planet. It will take another generation or two to learn how to bring these people in, how to educate their children, and how to include them, because they don't have, there's no guilt involved in losing your home, and there's no guilt involved in having to leave your country. And if you now are in a refugee camp where they can't even come up with tents that are winterproof, which we have that in Eastern Europe, where people are getting into winter now and the children are freezing and the mothers are freezing and some children are born under freezing conditions. That is going to take years to heal. And I'm concerned about that, but I'm also hopeful that what we have learned in America from Korea through Vietnam, what we have learned about trauma, that we have something that can help. And I think that if society opens up to the benefits of trauma treatment, that we will get one step closer to really helping people with this predicament.
I appreciate you expressing your viewpoint there, because it's firsthand knowledge, and it's a view from someone who's been through that and sees similar circumstances. The book we're talking about is Reinventing Life, My Journey into PTSD and Back. Ilmarin Vogel is our guest on the program. That's Ilmarinen. And Vogel, V as in Victor, O-G-E-L. If you're into Googling that, you can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Link on directly to information on the book. The book's available at Amazon, the usual places. It's been a pleasure having you on the program, the last couple of programs. Excellent conversations. I've really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for sharing your story and thoughts on the program today.
Thank you, Rick. And I want to thank again Pathways Projects for not only supporting me and encouraging me to do this, but also for hosting this interview for me.
It's been a great location, and thank them from our standpoint as well. It's been a pleasure having you on the program. The book is Reinventing Life, My Journey into PTSD and Back. You'll find it at Amazon. And, of course, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.